necessary that we turn to several places tonight in your Bible. So keep your Bible kind of loose there where you can flip back and forth to various things. We didn't get very far. We just touched on a few highlights, and I laid fairly strong emphasis on two or three things. We'll just touch on those and move a little further through it. In this chapter is introduced to us the primary personality on earth during the tribulation, which is the Antichrist. And he's the primary, this is where he, you see him, you see him in his full shame, I'll say. Satan's man, incarnate, Satan incarnate, not really incarnate, but Satan's man. And also, you're introduced to the false prophet who comes up in this chapter. He is likened to a lamb that has two horns, a lamb, kind of like a more of a goat than a lamb, but he speaks with the voice of the dragon. He is a religious leader. He is the false prophet. And there's some very fascinating things that you'll see in this chapter. In fact, let me just to whet your appetite. Notice 13:3. Let's talk about the miracles. The Antichrist miracles. Does the Antichrist work miracles? Or more to the point, does the false prophet work miracles? Indeed he does. And these are fascinating to see. They're actually, I thought there were only three. They're actually more than three. Let me just show you what they are. 13:3. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Notice 13:14, and deceives them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. This is the Antichrist, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Now notice this now, which had the wound by a sword and did live. Drop back to 13:13, and we're just, I'm taking these in this order for a reason. He doeth great wonders, that is the false prophet, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Notice 13:15, these are the miracles of the false prophet who works for the Antichrist. 13:15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Fascinating. He had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Fascinating. We'll see it. We'll see as much as the Bible tells us. Notice 16, chapter 16, and I'm just touching on these things. 16:14. You have here Antichrist, false prophet doing stuff. 16:14, they are the spirits of devils. Anytime you see that plural, it refers to demons. They are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. We'll get to that. That's the Battle of Armageddon. And then notice 19, chapter 19 and verse 20. There may be some other references as well. I've just got these here. 19:20, and the beast was taken with him, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshiped his image. Remember that image? He creates an image, he makes an image, causes it to be made, and then he makes it look like the image is alive. And say, what is it? I don't know what it is. But it also has some level of intelligence, because it is connected to causing people to receive the mark. It kind of knows who's received the mark and who hadn't. Anyway, received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And it's just interesting. Those are some of the miracles of the Antichrist and the false prophet. So let's go back and we'll look at these in a little bit more detail as we have time. Now, let me emphasize again in chapter 13, verse 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea. It's the imagery of the sea, as we said before, is generally illustrated in the book of Revelation as the Gentile peoples of the earth. So I don't think the Antichrist is Jewish. I don't think that is true at all. Now, some people think that it is. You say, well, why do some people think he is and some think he's not? Because there's just not a lot said about it. God tells us general things. He gives us some specifics. Certain things we get curious about, he doesn't tell us all the details, and you can spend the rest of your life speculating. But I personally do not think, on what I can see, that he's a Jew. Anyway, he comes out of the sand of the sea. He stands on the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast, 13:1, rise up out of the sea. Now, he's a beast in the eyes of God. He is not a beast in the eyes of men. We call him the beast, the Antichrist. That's how God sees him. That's not how he will appear. He doesn't appear grotesque. He's grotesque inside. God looks on the heart. God looks on the inner person. God knows what this guy is. This guy takes the kingdom by flatteries. He doesn't take it by power at the beginning. He achieves his level of authority by being a savvy politician. And we talked about that before, and we'll see that as we get a little deeper into these things. But he's a beast to God because he's a ravenous beast inside, and he does all kinds of damage. And notice this now, he rises up out of the sea. Again, imagery of the Gentile nations. He rises up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, I explained this to you before. The heads and the horns, the 7 heads, 10 horns, has to do with it's just an imagery of his power, his political power. He does come up from amongst a 10-nation organization, a 10-nation organization. Could be the European Common Market, maybe, may not be. But what it is, it comes out of the geographical boundaries of the ancient Roman Empire. Now, that much we are certain of because of the book of Daniel. So he does that. But anyway, and notice the character of it. Crowns and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, what John sees is a grotesque-looking monster. What it actually is, as it'll look to people that see him, he is a man. He's a man. Thunderstorm, don't worry about it. He's a man, okay? And notice he has upon his head the names of blasphemy. Blasphemy is his primary, don't worry about that. Blasphemy, and in fact, if you make sure all these are turned off on this side, everything over here, because nobody's singing. If they are, I can't see them. So just keep this here. That'll help a little bit. May help. Blasphemy is saying. Now keep this in mind. What is blasphemy? Okay, I want you to look back at the book of Daniel. Go back to Daniel chapter 7. Let's do this pretty quick. It's about the middle of your Bible here, your Old Testament. The book of Daniel, one of the great major prophets, although it's only 12 chapters, major in importance, pretty much. Daniel chapter 7, and you see here this same thing about him blaspheming. Now listen to me. Here's blasphemy. Listen to me. I'm going to show you some verses. Blasphemy is to irreverence or defame or to rip and to tear someone or something. It means to tear something, to rip something, to try to mar or destroy something. To blasphemy means to speak slanderously against a person, to tear somebody down. Okay, the Da Vinci Code is blasphemy against Jesus Christ. Churches all across this country tonight are empty. All across this country. While our God is being blasphemed. And they'll be empty Sunday. God is being blasphemed. It's time for the people of God to stand with the God that they belong. They'll let people know, and don't be intimidated by that. The Da Vinci Code is blasphemy against Jesus Christ. The Christopher Hitchings, conservative, Laura Ingraham quotes him all the time, written a book, God is not great. God is great. God is the great God. That's blasphemy. That is to rip and to tear down. When the Bible is attacked on the History Channel, this naked archaeologist guy, or any others that have come before them or after them, that is blasphemy. That's why I've made the comment, I said it recently, I think I said it Sunday night in introducing Kirk, I said hell is making noise. hell is talking. Now, when the Antichrist comes, that will be his primary inner self. That's what he's about. Look at Daniel 7 and verse 8. And we'll just do this fairly rapidly. I considered the horns. The horns are leaders. You get out in the field with an animal's got horns. He has authority. That's the point. And a horn is a governmental authority. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. Now, stop just a minute. I told you, the Antichrist comes up from a 10-nation association, confederate. It's a confederacy, really, what it is. A 10-nation confederacy. He comes up from that in the tribulation. All kinds of stuff's going on. He rises up and starts solving problems. They don't want to give him a day off, Shank, because he solves problems. He solves problems. This guy's got the answer. Now, you got the answer, people start coming to you. When your answers work, people keep coming to you. People, they think, man, we got to go to him. Some problem comes up, go to this guy. That's how he's going to come up. He's going to take the king, he's going to take power through flatteries, but he's the beast. That's who he is. He said, I saw among the horns a little horn, a guy that seemed fairly insignificant on the national scene, international scene. He comes up. Among them, another little horn. Before him, there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. In other words, it's take a long time. I don't have time to do this tonight because it's 4th of July, but three of the 10 nations are going to, at first, come under his thing. So it's going to be, you can almost get an idea. It's going to be some weaker countries like Bosnia-Herzegovina or some of these countries like that that are weak and unstable. You say France. Yeah, France is unstable. But France it's stably unstable. I don't know that they're always switching around, but they're there. They're what they are. They don't have the same leader. But good night, Israel's like that. You know, they're always a vote or no conference and throwing people out. I don't know what it's going to be. But there's three of these 10 nations are going to come under his. He's going to come up out of one of them. But three of them are going to kind of collapse and come under his umbrella. And that just gives him a bigger stage. I mean, that moves him up from single A to triple A, and he can put on a show, and somebody says, wow, look at this guy, and he keeps moving up. That's how he operates, okay? But now here's what I want you to see. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, this is the Antichrist, and a mouth speaking great things. This guy has got the gift of gab, but he's effective. But more than that, look at verse 11. And I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, this guy, this leader, spake. And I beheld till the beast, he's called the beast there, was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. That's right. Look at 7:25. All right. I hear you get a little more specific. He shall speak great words against, in opposition to, the Most High. God is not great. Christopher Hitchens. Christopher Hitchens is not the Antichrist. But it's going to be along those lines. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Let me say this. Things that have been accepted by cultures, civilized cultures, for centuries will be altered by this guy. Now, I'm not a date setter. I'm not a season predictor in any way, because I'm a dispensationalist. And I know it can turn, things can change, things can moderate. You could have revival. I don't think we are. We're not having it now, but you could have that. And things could moderate. You get things go pretty bad, and then something happens. And sometimes people just get so bad, people say, we got to change the way we're thinking. There are certain social trends now. One thing I'm thinking of in particular, I can't tell you what it is, but one thing that is just a trend, is just so trendy to believe this way. It's wrong, but it's so trendy to believe this way. But it's not correct. Because you look at the facts, you can't, with statistics, back up that trend. Now, after a while, people are going to say, our fathers believed that, but you know what? That doesn't make sense to me. I think they were wrong about that. And it may swing things back in that particular area to a more balanced position on that particular thing. It may not. What I am saying is this. When you have these little rumblings out of hell about things like, I see the little equal signs all the time on people's cars. That means two men married are equal to a male and female. That's what that means. The two little yellow equal signs, that's it. They used to use the Greek word lambda. Now they got other things, you know, in the purple pink triangle, all that kind of stuff. Okay, that he is going to succeed in changing laws and customs. Now, all I'm saying to you is people say, well, how can it be? But you can see it already. This may be the precursor. This may not. But sooner or later, it's in man's heart to fall into that. And when the Christians are gone and the salt and light's gone, no preaching, Spirit of God ceases to restrain sin, oh my, it'll just be riding your skis downhill. That's all there's going to be to it. So that's what he's going to do. And notice in 7:25 of Daniel, and they shall be given into his hand. He's going to have charge of these things until a time, times, and the dividing of time. You see, I thought that was in the book of Revelation. It is. But it was first in the book of Daniel. Now, the important point there. Now, notice, if you would, chapter 11 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. And notice this little comment here. Now, this is the Antichrist. And the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Now, see, he'll have a false prophet, a religious guy who does miracles. But ultimately, it is about false religion is not about false religion. False religion, that is, believing in wrong doctrine, wrong way about God, or in the wrong God, Buddha, Muhammad, that stuff. Listen to me, what I'm telling you tonight. Listen to me. I'm going to read the verse. I know you're all ready. Look up here. Just I hate to be like Jim Jones. Say, don't look at that. Look here. But you need to listen to what I'm going to tell you. Then I'll read the verse. Hey, don't worry about that. But when I start passing out Kool-Aid and seeing that, then you're wearing the sunglasses, then you can get out. Okay? All right. Okay. Listen, false religion is not about getting people to false religion from Satan's standpoint. False religion is about getting people disconnected from the true God. It's transitional. It transitions them away from the true God. And these false gods, Buddha, Muhammad, or whatever it might be, you know, Hare Krishna, whatever things, it's millions of them, Hinduism, whatever it is. It is about getting them away from the true God, but it's not about keeping them there. Satan doesn't want people worshiping that stuff. He ultimately wants them worshiping him. So the Antichrist can't contain himself. He is so filled with Satan that when he ultimately takes power in the middle of the tribulation period, and remember what the key point of the tribulation is, he goes in the temple. You know that. And what does he say? He showing himself that he is God. And he's against everything that is called God or that is worshipped, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Satan wants worship. That's what he wants. He's not interested in getting people in false religion other than transitioning them from the true God so he can move them through the false religion. Ultimately, he wants them to worship him. So when we make the blanket statement, something's of the devil, we're really not kidding when we say that. That's not an oversimplification. That is ultimately his end. That's what he's trying to get to. Now, let's look at the verse. Say, well, I read it. Okay, well, you go on to the next thing. 11:36. The king shall do according to his will, the Antichrist. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. And here again, he's going to speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that which is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Now, see, that's where everybody gets the Jewish thing. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. What's the desire of women? Somebody said, well, maybe he's a homosexual. He could be. Let me tell you this. It could be this. It could be he loves war. Now, you know who doesn't like war? Mothers do not like war. The desire of mothers is the protection of their sons. It could be that. I don't know. It may be he's a sodomite. It may not be. I don't know. It's a general statement. God didn't give us the specifics, and I'm not going to add to what he said. I'm just telling you. Could be a sodomite. It could be that he doesn't care. He's just launching all these battles and killing people left and right. Mothers don't want their sons dying. That could be it. I don't know. You know, dads don't want them dying either, but they don't admit it. But, you know, mom, I don't want you to go, you know. You know, bring him home now. You know, say, but you're a conservative. I was till he got drafted, you know. Okay, I don't know. But anyway, here's what he's going to do. He's going to magnify a desire nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above. But in his state he shall honor the god of forces, that is, military power. And a god whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, precious stones, and pleasant things. That is, just the gods of war. That's really what he's going to be into. So enough said about that. Okay, let's go back real quick to Revelation here and just pull all this together. Chapter 13, that's what he's going to do. 13:1, I see this beast, verse 1, and upon his heads the name blasphemy. And then he likens him unto this. The beast which I saw was like a leopard speed. Leopards are quick, very quick. His feet were as the feet of a bear, powerful. You don't want a bear stepping on you and swiping at you with their paws, with their claws. Very powerful. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Majesty, authority, fearful. That's just what that all that is. And how does this man, the Antichrist, how does this man get his power? The dragon, now you know who the dragon is from chapter 12. This dragon, this great red dragon, stands before the woman Israel, ready to devour her child as soon as it's born, trying to kill this child. Satan, trying to get rid of Israel. One reason he wants to get rid of Israel, he's trying to get rid of Christ. Can't get rid of Christ. And then he comes back again because the church is gone. He goes after you. You know all that from chapter 12. So again, when you see these pictures, keep in mind what they stand for. And then as the story is added to, you're not lost. Because, oh yeah, I know where I'm at now. And we see where it is. So you got all this going. He gets his power from Satan, the dragon, and his seat and great authority. Who gives it to him? Satan gives it to him. Now, Satan is the god of this world. All right, now. Now, let's come back to this just briefly. I don't know how far we'll get, but just for time. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Now, I'm going to tell you honestly the way this is. Fundamental interpreters, orthodox, when I say orthodox, view this two ways. And I have an opinion, and I'm going to give you my opinion. Guys like Dr. John Walbert, who I greatly respect. You say, well, isn't the Bible clear? The Bible is clear. The Bible is clear on the stuff that we need to know. But there's stuff that God has to tell us what we need to know that are incidental to it, that he doesn't go into detail. God is not interested in satisfying our curiosity. So he'll make a comment. He'll say, this is what's going to happen, and there's some stuff that's preliminary to this or prerequisites to this, and you and I like to get hung up on the prerequisites and the preliminaries. God says, I'm not worried about that. It's going to go that way, but this is the point. What's this head that's wounded? Well, some believe it's a reference to the ancient geographical boundaries of the empire itself. A lot of great men, a lot of Dallas guys hold to that. John Walford holds to that, different ones. But they're wrong. No, I don't know if they're wrong. I think they're wrong. I think it's referring to the beast himself. Now, there's some questions with that because of the way it's stated. But I think it refers to the Antichrist itself. And the reason is, I'll show you in just a minute why. One of his heads was wounded to death. Now, this whole thing, this whole monster that comes up is a multi-headed monster that's got speed like a leopard, feet like a bear, sounds like a lion when it makes sound. That's all symbolic language. It's a man. And one of his heads is wounded. Now, let me tell you what I think what's going on here about this head, and we probably won't get much past this. Look at 13, and we looked at this a minute ago, 13:14. Okay, this guy, he deceives them that dwell upon the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now notice this, 13:14 in the middle. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now, let me show you something else interesting. We looked at this before. Look back at Zechariah. I know we dealt with this before, but just see it how it fits in here. And you know, if you want to take Dr. Walver's view, I mean, I'm just being honest now. If the Bible is not doesn't give a lot of detail, I'm going to give you my opinion, but I'm going to tell you it's my opinion. You understand that? The Bible is clear. The Bible is very clear. It can be understood. But God hasn't gone into a lot of detail about all the details. Do you understand what I'm telling you now? Okay, so don't come up and say, well, you mean we can't understand the Bible? We can understand what we need to understand. But there's all kinds of stuff God knows He hadn't told us. And if He told us, we wouldn't be able to figure it out anyway. So let's let that sit. I think it's the guy. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 17. 11:17. Woe to the idle shepherd. This is a bad person. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. Now, you know, this guy comes along as a shepherd of Israel. Now, God's the shepherd of Israel. Jesus Christ is the shepherd of Israel. But the idle shepherd leaves them. What does the Antichrist do? First half, he says, hey, I'm going to look out for you guys. Israel says, you know what? This is the Messiah. This is the guy we've been looking for. But what does he do? In the middle of it, he leaves them. In the middle of that 7-year contract, he bails out, turns on them. The sword shall be upon his arm and his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Now go back to chapter 13 of Revelation. Now, you say, what is going on here? Well, what is going on here, what I think is going on here, is simply that the Antichrist is the victim of some kind of an assassination attempt. Because it says he has a deadly wound that was healed and he did live. Now, what is the Antichrist in the mind of Satan? I know it's hard to get into Satan's mind, but in the mind of Satan, who is he the counterfeit of? Jesus Christ. He mimics. You get this false prophet working these counterfeit miracles. What's Satan want? He doesn't want people worshiping the true Christ. By the way, what is the tribulation period? The tribulation period is the counterfeit of the millennial rule of Christ himself, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. Satan is reigning on the earth for 7 years. It's a time of bloodshed. That's the way Satan is. That's what he's about. Though he wants to be like God, he can't, because he was perfect in his ways until iniquity. Poison was twisted. It's twisted steel. It is a piece of steel that is twisted, and it is no longer usable. It has to be disregarded. And if you use it, your car is going to be crooked, the bridge is going to fall, the house is going to cave in. Satan is filled with iniquity. So whatever he does, it's not going to turn out. It can't be like God. But he mimics everything that God does. You get false miracles going, and I think you have a false death and a false resurrection, because I think there's going to be an assassination attempt. The language is too graphic to me to be symbolic of the reinstitution of the ancient Roman Empire. But I do believe that's going to happen. I do believe that because of some other verses that geographical. I know some of you are lost here, but that geographical boundary is where Antichrist is going to come out of, and he's going to start his rule from there, on the city of seven hills, which is not Lynchburg, it is Rome. Okay? All right? But, and I think there's going to be an assassination attempt. I think that's going to happen. And by the way, it's going to be with a sword. It's going to be with some kind. I'm telling you, there's going to be, in my opinion, this is total speculation, other than what the verses say. Now, that sword could be a knife. I haven't looked up whether it's a Remphela, which is a long sword, or a Machaira. I suspect it's a good project. It's probably the Greek word for Machaira, which is a little dagger that you can hide in your belt. Or it may be the Remphela, the long sword. I don't know. I haven't checked that out. Do you know which one it is? Huh? No. In Revelation. With a sword? Yeah, they didn't write Revelation in Hebrew. It did, man. I'm behind. I knew I failed that class for some reason. I'm sure. But anyway, it indicates whether it's a big sword. But you know, let me tell you something. It could be a ceremonial guard, like Anwar Sadat. It was people dressed up. It was people dressed up in military uniforms that assassinated him. Remember that? While the jets were flying over, it could be a ceremonial guard. Antichrist is standing there. Guys like Marines. It won't be Marines, of course. It'll be Army people. Actually, it may be a Marine. This guy we won't kill. But anyway, sorry, my mistake. Anyway, Jack McGuck is not in heaven. That's good. Anyway, with the sword, and a guy could just turn on him and try to kill him right that. Well, the Japanese were big on that. Japanese would cut people this way. I have a picture in that book William gave me of them cutting people's heads off. Praise the Lord, they took the picture before the sword moved. But, oh, awful. And it's going to ruin his right eye. It's going to affect his arm. It's going to be this kind of a thing. It's going to affect his eye. It's going to affect his arm. And I think the report's going to be, our great leader has died. And the world's going to mourn. I really do. And it's a mimicking of what Jesus Christ did. And then the false prophet is going to restore him to life. It's all going to be a Benny Hinn setup. But he's going to restore him to life. The deadly wound. Actually, this is interesting. The Greek word for wound is the word for plagued. I don't know how that fits, but that's what it is. But that he's going to be healed from that. And people are going to wander after him and worship him because they're going to say, who can be like this guy? And the whole world is going to do it. So anyway, let me just throw that at you. Okay, verse 4 real quick. Verse 3, and his wound was healed, and all the world wandered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, Satan, which gave power to the beast. And they worshiped, say, who's there to make war with him? Verse 5, we'll stop here. There was given, harmony of the Bible is so exact. This is a divine book. It's a divine book. This is just a small little illustration. There's thousands of others that are far more stark and detailed and intricate than this if you chase them through. It's people writing 1,500 years before said something that somebody else fills in a gap about, and the guy over here didn't even know about this, and it all fits, and you put it together and you see the total picture, the total mosaic that God has painted. It's amazing. This is God's book. The miracle of the Bible won't let me be an atheist, won't let me be an unbeliever, won't let me be a liberal, won't let me be a jellyback evangelical. It makes me a rip-snorting, fire-breathing fundamentalist because I believe it. But this is interesting how this is going to work. Okay, all right, we'll stop right there. It's not even 8:30. This will never happen again, folks, so let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Chad's going to come, lead us in a word of prayer, and try not to get yourself blown up tonight with fireworks. How about that?
Stand. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you.